Before we get into this week's edition of the Survivor Wiggle Room, I want to take a moment and thank our friends over at True Car, because if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with a term like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you'll know exactly what you pay for the car that you want, including the fees and the accessories, before you even get to the dealership. And a True Car dealer will show you what the true price is on a car like the one that you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Well, I'll tell you, because True Car will tell you what other people paid for the same car that you want, and you won't get taken to slam town. And your certified dealer knows this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Check it out.
Josh.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Do the wiggle, man. I do the wiggle, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up, bro, chachos?
Oh, yes. Did you invent that term?
I am the inventor of the term brochacho. When I was speaking with him in a cabana in Cambodia, I gave Terry Dietz the idea to say brochacho. He's retroactively crediting it to his son, who's great, and his friends. I don't think so, T. Dietz. We know the truth. You and I remember.
How about this?
How about that?
And there's no wiggle room. There's no room for error.
No wiggle room. No room for error.
But where? Well, what is this then? What is this that we're in right now, if not the wiggle room? Are we not here? Is none of this real? Is it all an illusion? So many things. Too much happening on Survivor this week.
Yes.
And on the podcast, too. What a action-packed week of podcasting you've had, my friend.
I know. Oh, I know. Everything is happening right now with Survivor, and we are in peak podcast form right now because the show has been delivering. We've had a lot of excitement both on and off the airwaves for everything going on here in Rob is a Podcast. So excited to be back here together with you. Wait, hold on. Do you have a bunch of surprises for me? Should I sit down?
None. No surprises for you this week. Thank you for being a trooper last time. I think it seemed like Casey had predicted it was going to be the best week of the wand off ever. Little did he know.
Casey!
Rob, I literally changed my flight back from LA to New York in order to get home as early as humanly possible, knowing that you were going to be annoyed at how long the wand off was potentially going to go, and my flight ended up getting delayed. So
yeah, no,
I just want you to know I was being
apologize, and I want to thank everyone.
Considerate as humanly possible.
Because I've gotten a lot of, you know, since my birthday last week, boy, Rob is really cranky. There's no making him happy, I guess. Well,
is this Adam Klein talking? I mean, spot on Adam impression.
So look, there was just a lot going on and a lot of, you know, that the podcast still had to all go out last week. So we had everything.
No, I understand. I understand. And when you're as beloved as you are, Rob Cesternino, I mean, you don't need to like stop and appreciate the love because you already know it. You feel it in your heart. You know, you don't need the outpouring of.
I really appreciate all the extra work for everybody. So we had the supersized wiggle room leading into a supersized This Week in Survivor History, running into talking about The Walking Dead with Jessica Leese, and then patron five for five, like in the matter of like, five straight hours of podcasting last Monday night. So it was a long day after a very tiring weekend. But Josh, we have
nobody
so
cares.
Much.
Nobody cares. I know. Nobody cares. Yeah. It's all good.
All right. So Josh, what an episode that we had here on episode number five, and the hits keep on coming here in Survivor David versus Goliath.
Look, I think it says a lot about the state of this season that we're five episodes deep into David versus Goliath. We lose one of the by far biggest personalities of the season in Natalie Napalm in this past episode, and people are still high on the episode. Not only that, but the departure of Natalie Napalm and the way in which it unfolded was potentially the high point of the season thus far, would you say?
Yeah, because I think that was probably the most
like the
iconic
thing.
Moment of the season.
It was just incredible. It was incredible. I mean, every single thing about that moment was absolutely spectacular, from like the obvious comedy of just like the sheer absurdity of Angelina just like repeating the request over and over again, and just like really just like the Bueller of it all, of not getting any response from Natalie. Just the way that that all unfolded was incredible. As many others have pointed out, the way that Angela was standing with like her hands crossed in front of her, like a schoolgirl who is like talking to like their their very serious headmaster at the school or whatever it was. It was just, it was incredible, the visual. I think that the fact that we're 37 seasons into Survivor and we are seeing at the crux of this vote this idea of jackets being such a high commodity. And that's really something that I don't feel like we've ever seen on the show in this much of a dramatized way. Just sort of like the uniqueness behind this bizarre tribal council speaks volumes for where we are and how much more we can still net out of Survivor this late into its run. And I think that's sort of speaking to the fact of why this season, at least for me, and I think for many others, why it's resonating, is not only is it very funny, but it's very human. This is a season where they're just getting annihilated by weather. We've had a full-on medical evacuation. We've had one person quit already. And we had a full cast evacuation where everyone was locked away in a cage for 2 days, only to come back to the
Was it a cage? Camp.
We don't know. That's not an exclusive. I have no behind the scenes information on the matter. Wherever they were, some bunker. Again, Adam probably has the details, as you have suggested on the podcast earlier this week. The fact that that's all happening, and the fact that they're so cold, just getting dumped on by the rain and so cold at night, that having a jacket is such a key piece of luxury. And it's not only luxury, it's literally Angelina saying, if I can only get warmer, I will think sharper. If I had a jacket, my plan to hijack a jacket would probably be better. Mm-hmm. The fact that all of that is playing, I think it's emphasizing the survival aspect of Survivor. And that means that it's only more and more human, and the frailty of these people is just more and more obvious. So I don't know. Don't at me, but this is the best season ever. I don't know. It's early to say, but I think that Survivor Season 37 is demonstrating some BDE at this stage. some big David energy going on here on David versus Goliath.
Wouldn't that be Goliath energy?
Don't discount David, man.
Yeah.
You never know what David's secret weapon is.
All right. The idea of this jacket vote, Josh, that, it is just it's been such a amazing storyline on the show. And I just think it's been one that's resonated, and we will get to that with the wand off. It's really captured the hearts and minds of the Survivor fan. Yeah. But it's such a simple story for people to wrap their head around, where that it's not, oh, this person had the idol and then the vote nullifier and then the split vote and, who was immune. It's just the story of a woman who wanted a jacket and the jacket that this woman wanted, and another woman saying, no, you cannot have this jacket.
Sometimes keep it simple, stupid is the classic thing here, right? Like, I think that just sort of the streamlined story that we are getting there, the simplicity is in the details. It's just perfect. It's such a clean, elegant idea that these people are so cold and so miserable and so desperate for any last shred of comfort that they could possibly get, that even the matter of the eggs, Rob, which are getting lost in the shuffle here because the jackets are such a dazzler. But this idea of, don't boil my eggs, man. Like, if you boil my eggs, the eggs are going to be bad and you're not touching my eggs. Like, it's just these like little simple ideas that we take for granted that are obviously such high impact ideas out there on the beach, that really separates what we can possibly understand of the Survivor experience as people who have not not experienced the show, and then what you and your like, you know, the over, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of people who've played this game, what you could all intimately relate to is just how terrible it gets out there and just how much of a difference a coat would make. And I think that it made for remarkably compelling television. And I wonder if, you know, if this was the meat and potatoes of Survivor every single season, the jacket and eggs of Survivor every single year, if it would be as special, or if it's feeling especially shiny and wonderful now, because we are in this age of the age of the advantage. You know, we are in the age of like the shiny new object being the thing to track. And one of the real joys of David versus Goliath has been how people-centric it's been. And this episode was peak people-centric Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Now, Josh, I want to talk about the actual Costanza-esque nature of this plan to hijack the jacket from Natalie. Because, I mean, this is like kind of like a sitcom type caper where we have Natalie has this jacket, and now the length that Angelina is going to go through to lie to Natalie in order to pry the jacket from her.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And of course, that's something that wasn't revealed until the episode had finished airing and Fishback puts out the call of like, wait, did Angelina vote for Lyrsa as a ploy to get Natalie to blah, blah, blah? That's been relitigated. And Angelina has said, yep, that was it. That was the move. It's so complicated. It's such a harebrained scheme. It's like straight. It's straight out of the mind of Pinky and the Brain. There was no way this is going to work. I enjoyed, so when I spoke with Natalie in my interview with her for THR, I had asked her if Angelina had come up to you before tribal council and said, Natalie, look, here's the deal. Nick, Mike, and Lyrsa are voting for you, so you're done. You're getting voted out. I have to vote with them. You're going home tonight. Is there any chance I could have your jacket if, you know, once the votes are read, so you have it confirmed, like, could I please just have your jacket? I'm so cold out here and I'm still going to be here. And I said, does Angelina get your jacket in that case? And Natalie's instant response was, absolutely not, which I loved. There was no world in which Angelina was getting this jacket from Natalie. I don't know. Have you thought of like a better way for Angelina to have to crack this case, or is the coat not in the cards for Angelina, no matter how you slice?
So I think that maybe the better move would have been if Angelina would have come out with the Angelina napalm, and then when the vote gets read, Natalie, bring me your torch. If Angelina, instead of being like, oh, Natalie, I can't believe this happened. Can I have your jacket? If she goes like, Mike White, you, how could you? Natalie was our friend.
Yeah.
She is Goliath strong. You idiot. Right. You moron. You ignoramus. Maybe Natalie's like, hey. Like Mean Joe Green here throws the jersey to Angelina waiting in the wings. Like, here's a jacket, kid.
maybe that would have worked. Maybe that would have worked. But Natalie maintains that she saw through it the whole time. Like she knew she was very likely getting voted out. She knew very likely that Angelina was going to be in on it, to the point that when Angelina votes for Lyrsa and there's two Lyrsa votes, that she's like surprised and kind of weirded out by that fact, like something scummy is going on. I don't trust that. She had a great quote in our interview where she says, Angelina's trying to play this game on me, this girl who may have went to Stanford or Yale, but guess what? I went to South Central LA. I'm not trying to be anybody's mark. It was just so blatantly obvious. And she says, you've been trailing me all game. How can you come to me and ask me to will you my jacket, you idiot? Get out of my space.
Yeah, it didn't work. Josh, the scene, it's so hilarious. I know that you have been rewatching it, but I just wanted to play it for you one more time, because I've actually...
We could spend the rest of the podcast replaying the clip and I would be happy. I will never get tired of it. Never.
So I've actually re-edited the clip for maximum enjoyment. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Let's try this.
Natalie, would you bring me your torch?
Okay. I just wanted to give you a hug. I'm sorry.
Welcome.
Natalie, is there any way I could have your jacket? Natalie. Natalie. Natalie.
It's good. It's pretty good. Pretty good. You can just like imagine like Natalie with like the giant Larry David glasses, just like kind of equivocating, hemming and hawing, like outside of the Palestinian chicken place. Like, which side do I go? Except, no, none of that. No equivocation. It's a slam dunk, hard no. And it's just, it's amazing. I think the saddest thing for me that has come out of this week is Natalie being disappointed in the way that she was portrayed on television when she was just phenomenal TV. You know, the 5-episode arc of Natalie Cole, maybe not enough to dethrone Natalie Anderson in my Natalie power rankings. Certainly not a third place finish for Natalie Anderson, Mr. Kleige, which was a terrible take, horrible take, worse than sand. I do think
he likes sand. He doesn't like dirt.
Well, it's certainly worse than dirt and worse than sand. I just think that 5-episode run for Natalie is so much fun. When we get to it in Evolution of Strategy, we're going to have so much fun with Natalie, that Natalie will definitely be that type of character that, like, from that point forward in 37 through 40, she will be with us for every single segment of the way. Like, we will always be turning to Natalie for some Natalie napalm, for like all of the vote outs. And that's the thing that we're robbed of the most, is the "I like your purple hair." Like, we're not going to get more of that in the voting confessionals. So for entertainment's sake, I'm very sad to lose Natalie. I think for Natalie, I hope someday she can come to a place of appreciation of the way that she came across on TV. I think that she didn't understand. I was listening to her exit interview with you today, actually, before we came on, and it seemed like she didn't understand why she was coming off so one-dimensionally on the show. And, you know, one of the answers is probably because you're a little more like this than you realize, is one. But two, everybody has multiple dimensions. And so, of course, there are shades of Natalie that we did not get to see on the show. In our interview, she talked a lot about, like, the stargazing and, like, the reconnection with humanity and being disconnected from each other and all of that. It was very, very poignant stuff. But you're only in 5 episodes of the show. You don't have impact on the long arc of where this is going. So you're probably going to be distilled down into one most highly impactful version of yourself. And so that's what we get. And the impact is like a freaking meteor. You know, it is like it's a comet that strikes a planet, and it's like the end of Deep Impact, and not everybody makes it out alive, and it's incredible. Spoilers for Deep Impact. Many of the people make it out okay. Morgan Freeman's fine. He's the president. And it's just, it's so great. It's so great. Everything that happened with Natalie Napalm was amazing, and I hope that she can enjoy her place in Survivor history and not do too much of the "woe is me, I was edited poorly." "I think you were edited perfectly" is the voting confessional that I would give to her on her way out the door.
Yeah, she was so great in terms of being a character, and I think that she will leave a mark on this season for many, many years to come. And she's just so matter of fact. I loved her in her final words at the end.
"So why should I? I don't have to. And I chose not to."
You can't make her do something she doesn't want to do. And, you know, that, just the way that, you know, Jeff, you know, summed her up that you always have to have the last word. And she did have the last word on Angelina, just in terms of a character on the show, just a satisfying arc, even if she's gone too soon.
You certainly could complain that she's gone too soon. Like, it would be amazing if Natalie somehow squeaks by, though I love Lyrissa as well, so I was thrilled to see Lyrissa make it through. But I would have loved the scenario in which Natalie skates on by and Natalie can still make it out of here and push in deeper into the game, because she would have been so incredible in the post-merge, all of that. But what we got was great. And I also do think, like, just even kind of like weighing that for a moment, of that idea of, like, I didn't want to see Lyrissa go home either. That's been one of the great aspects of this season as well so far, is like we've been, first of all, no one wants to see anyone get medevaced first. So instantly, like, your heart breaks for Pat when that happens. But every single vote since, like, we've been in these dilemmas of like, oh, I don't want to see that person go, but like, there's no good option here. Maybe, well, like the second tribal council, yeah, was like a little bit whatever. But I think, you know, before all of the exit press shenanigans. Jeremy was like a super, super beloved figure, and you don't want to see him or Natalie go. You don't want to see Elizabeth. You don't want to see Elizabeth or Natalia go, or at least like you know that it's going to be like electric if Natalia goes. You don't even entertain it as a real possibility. In this boat, I don't think you wanted to see Natalie go. I don't think you want to see Lyrsa go. So there's just been these like do or die moments that you get to at the end of these tribal councils, where I think that's a testament to a lot of the character building work that's gone on in the front portion of this season. Bodes well for where we're going, I think.
Now, Josh, you mentioned Lyrsa, and I know that you actually had an interview with Lyrsa this week, which is currently up at The Hollywood Reporter, thr.com/survivor. And you spoke to Lyrsa about the drama surrounding this episode of Survivor.
If you have not gotten enough, if you've not gotten your fill of Jacket and Eggs, if you are still hungry for more, Lyrsa digs deep into the Jacket and Eggs drama.
She gives excuse me?
Yes, it's true. It's not a lie. We have a really big interview up with Lyrsa where she kind of gives me the beat by beat of what it was like on that beach, on Jebeni Beach, post swap, but specifically in this past 3 day cycle. Or I guess it's probably like a day and a half cycle of everything that happened once they won the reward challenge and all of the issues with the eggs and just how offensive she thought that the whole jacket drama truly was. All of that. I thought a really great interview with Lyrsa, who is so fun. I'm really happy that she's still on the show, and I like her purple hair.
Yes. What about her lime green jacket?
I love that lime green jacket. It's a good look. Classic comic book look, though, and typically associated with either supervillains or superheroes who are prone to anger, much like the Hulk. So I wonder if this is, it's either a Joker or Hulk prophecy for Lyrsa, potentially, the green and purple look.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. You can see her hulking out, I think. Sorry, like had like a few moments of like, excuse me? You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Yeah, she gets angry. Josh, could you just quickly tell us this? So how did she react to the caper about Angelina casting a vote against her to try to win the jacket?
She didn't really have a massive reaction that she gave to me. She says that Angelina had come up to her before tribal and asked if she had an idol, which I didn't, and told me that she was going to vote for me because we're getting Natalie out. But if she voted for Natalie, she's not going to get the jacket. So she told me to tell Natalie that we're having a Latina to Latina conversation about how I'm next and that she's sorry, but to not tell Natalie the plan. I didn't trust both of them after the whole conversation with Nick about Jacketgate, so I nodded. Angelina indeed voted how she told me, and she asked Natalie for the jacket more than it was shown. I think she even dropped a tear or two, but I knew Natalie was not going to give it up. Natalie's a very smart woman, and she knew what had happened. She was not going to give her jacket. Just like I was not going to give up mine.
Mm-hmm.
And you should see the jackets. I'm sorry. I had to go there.
They're exquisite. They're exquisite, those jackets. I love the idea that, according to Lyrsa, that Angelina asked for the jacket more than it was shown. Even more? Like, what did we miss? What's on the editing room floor?
Natalie.
What a delight. What a treat.
Josh, I see also here that Lyrsa was talking to you about she's having a hard time with the experience with social media. Is that accurate?
Yeah, she's been tweeting about this a little bit, that the night that the episode aired, that she got dragged into some Instagram chat room. Like, she got like put into a chat room. I didn't even know that was a thing that could happen on Instagram.
Sounds terrible.
I know. I don't want to will that into existence for myself, but apparently that's a thing. And she just she was like getting dragged by a bunch of teenagers who were being homophobic and being horrible to her. I think a lot of them were huge Natalie fans, and so they were upset that Natalie was gone, and they were taking it out directly on Lyrsa. So yeah, Lyrsa speaks about that.
Sounds like what happens when you get taken to Slamtown.
Yeah, except a lot less fun. I imagine Slamtown. I would rather go to Slamtown than to an Instagram cesspool. Does not sound like a great does not sound like a great place to be.
You don't want to be the mayor.
No, definitely not. Or the Mayor. That's a bad place to be. So I'm sad for Lyra that happened. I thought that she had a really good perspective on the way that social media plays out. If you are a person on the show, as best as we can, please, people, A, don't be horrible, and B, remember that there are human beings on the other side of these TV characters. Just like, don't be an awful person. That shouldn't be so hard, but tragically seems to be a little difficult in this day and age.
A little bit difficult. Okay. Josh, talk to me about what's going on here that we've talked about Slamtown a great deal this season, but we have the formation of the Brochachos. There's a CEO of Brochachos. There is potentially a president. There is also a Haas.
Indeed there is. And that was an incredible thing to hear on my television, just on a personal level. Can I go on a little bit of a tangent here? Do you mind? Is it okay? People don't
mind
a tangent here,
I think,
right?
T-Bird used up all the tangents this week, so I'll have to dip into next week. So,
is that what the T stands for?
Yes.
Tangent bird?
Yes, yeah, so I will go into a tangent deficit for
all right,
you.
So I will take you can take this out of my my tangent tab for next week's Wiggle Room. How about that?
Yes.
So a few years ago, 2014 into 2015, for that New Year's 2014 into 15, I was in Reykjavik, Iceland, which is a phenomenal place to celebrate New Year's Eve. If you have not had the pleasure of being in Iceland on New Year's Eve, which I'm sure many people listening have not, it is incredible. They really do it up. At that time of year, you're only looking at about like 4 or 5 hours of daylight a day anyway, so it's mostly pitch black. It's mostly night all day long. But in Iceland, they love themselves some New Year's. It is a huge celebration. It like goes from like 7 p.m. at night until wee hours of the morning, like 6, 7, 8 in the morning, and they just like they launch fireworks in the sky nonstop from like 11 o'clock until, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning. It's really intense. It was hailing when we were there. My wife and I and a friend of ours were there, and it was just hailing and the sky is on fire. It's just the most beautiful elemental experience of my entire life. The next day, Iceland is just one gigantic hangover. Everybody in Iceland is really just reeling from the night before. Many of them are taking the hair of the dog strategy to dealing with their hangovers. So they're going to different bars and just keeping it going so that they don't have to feel feelings quite yet. So New Year's Day, January 1st, 2015, I am in a bar called Lebowski Bar in Reykjavik, which is a bar that is modeled after The Big Lebowski, the Coen Brothers film, where you can get a wide variety of white Russians. They have a very robust white Russian menu. They've got all these like cartoon illustrations of the dude and John Goodman. I don't think any Steve Buscemi, because that would just be a little too creepy. But they've got all these different things, and it's like kind of like a diner. You can get some mozzarella sticks. They're not terrible. It's a great place. And so I'm there, and my wife has to go to the bathroom, so she goes to the bathroom, and I'm sitting there with our friend Lee, and Lee and I are there, and this gigantic Icelandic man saunters right up to us.
Andre the Giant?
the David of Iceland saunters up to us at Lebowski Bar and drops into the chair next to Lee. Lee was sitting in between myself and Emily's seat. So this man has just launched into Emily's chair. And most people in Iceland speak English, I found anyway. This Icelandic man did not seem to speak much English at all, or he was so inebriated that speaking English at that point in time was a very difficult prospect. And so he starts to like very aggressively like talking to us and like kind of like patting Lee on the back, and she's very uncomfortable with the whole thing, and I'm feeling super anxious about it. I'm very turned up and I have no idea what's going on. And this man finally says to her, what is his name? She goes, my name is Lee. And he then looks at me and he goes, what's his name? And I say, Josh. And it's the first word that I've said to this man throughout this entire conversation. And he stands up out of his chair and he comes to me and he places one very heavy drunken Icelandic hand upon my shoulder. And he says, he repeats my name back to me as he heard it. He says, Haas. And he anoints me Haas in that moment. And ever since that trip to Iceland, internally within my household, one of my Daenerys Targaryen type of titles has been Haas. And so to hear Christian anoint himself the Haas of Brochachoville was very triggering for me and hugely unexpected. And I don't know how to feel about it because I'm Haas. He's not Haas. I'm Haas.
And you're a Brochacho.
And I don't know if I'm a Brochacho. I don't know if that I haven't been anointed into the Brochacho club, but I am Haas. So It's a very confusing feeling that I have today watching all of that play out.
What's up, Brochacho?
I even went to a Build-A-Bear months later while I was on my first trip out to Survivor, actually, and I stopped over and saw a friend who lived elsewhere in Asia and went to a Build-A-Bear and built a bear for my wife. And you can name the bears. There's like a huge naming ceremony and you can like load them up with like sound clips and stuff. And I named it Haas the Bear because Haas was really, really popular in our lives at that point in time. And when you squeeze Haas's hand, this is what he says.
Haas.
He says Haas.
Wow.
Haas.
Okay.
Yeah. He kind of even looks like Christian, potentially.
The bear looks like Christian.
Well, I mean, only insofar as all people who have glasses look alike, which I'm allowed to say as somebody who wears glasses. I'll post the picture on my Instagram. Don't send me into an Instagram cesspool, but I'll show you Haas. Anyway.
So after all this, then you were saying that you have mixed feelings about Christian being Haas.
No, I like Christian. He can hang on to, he can be the Survivor Haas for now.
Survivor Haas.
Haas didn't stand for anything, as far as I know, unless the Icelandic man knew something that I did not.
Yes.
Which is possible.
And as for the origin of Joe Brochacho in terms of...
What's up, Brochacho?
Who was the person that coined the term? Because as we talked about on the feedback show, Dan claims it was his.
You're also part of the Brochachos at this point.
Brochacho?
Who's the president of the Brochachos?
We have to have an election.
I kind of came up with the word.
Yeah, well, emphasis on kinda, because you didn't.
Yes. T-Bird has made some progress tracking down Terry Dietz, and we may be hearing from Terry Dietz later on in this Survivor week.
Wow.
Be on the lookout.
We don't have our hands full with Jacket Gate. We have to manufacture a new gate. We're building Brochacho Gate.
Look, we have to find out if Terry is pissed. Did you want to weigh in on Kajenius?
Kajenius, I'm a fan of the show. I liked it. I thought it was very good. I can't imagine that Dan is a huge fan, but he must have been tipped off that Kajenius is very popular with the online Survivor fan.
You know what a Kajenius is?
A Kajenius?
A Kajenius.
A Kajenius. What is it?
A Kajenius is a step above a genius.
Oh wow, that's a thank you. That's a high compliment.
Now, I have seen some talk about like a kajillion dollars when I was trying to say that, what is this prefix ka? Have you thrown that around, a kajillion dollars?
Is it like a jillion dollars is cool? Do you know
what's even cooler?
A kajillion dollars? Is that the idea?
How many dollars is a kajillion dollars?
It's a kajillion. This is a trick question.
It's worth elephant dung. Yeah, according to the Wiktionary, it's a unspecified large number.
Well, I know that Ka is a very big deal in Stephen King's Dark Tower series, which is a great fictional epic about like interdimensionality and destiny and, fate is a wheel and Ka is a wheel. And according to the Dark Tower Wikipedia, Ka signifies life force, consciousness, duty and destiny. In the Vulgate or low speech, it also means a place to which an individual must go.
Oh, like the Khaleesi. Is that Dothraki a genius?
Yeah, maybe. Does that mean that if Christian is able to go on an immunity challenge win, is he going to have to grow his hair out into a long braid?
That's right. That's right.
Because he has not been beaten. As soon as he's knocked out, he's going to have to shave his head because his hair is just not in braid chopping shape, and you're probably going to have to compensate for that.
Okay. Josh, anything you want to talk about with the evacuation and with Cyclone 2? Do you think we've seen the worst of the weather this season?
I just want to know where they go, man. Where are they? What happens? What happens in the 2 days? The 2 days that they are unaccounted for on the television screen. And as this season is showing, I think the more unusual Survivor can be, the more exciting it is for us. So knowing that Survivor is going to stick around in Fiji and presumably be there during rainy seasons and presumably have to have some other type of situation like this, you know, God forbid, but it seems like a safe bet that there would be some other evacuation during the rainy season. The elements, the globe, it's not getting better. I would love to see a scene set in a bunker, Survivor bunker. I feel like the midsection of an episode of just like one act set in the Survivor bunker. Mm-hmm. Why not? I feel like it'd be very strange and unusual and kind of great.
So you would like to see the curtain pulled back and see where they go on the TV show?
I think that that's something that's been great this season. You know, I feel like we're getting a little bit more of this idea of the Goliath that is Survivor. Much as Christian says in this episode today, we're all Davids, that storm is the Goliath. I feel like that would be fun. I think it would be fun to sort of to peer behind the curtain just a little bit more in that way. Where do they go? What happens? And especially because you have to imagine it has some kind of impact on the game, or at the very least, the psyches of the players of the game. Something that's probably going to be fairly important if they're truly on lockdown and not able to communicate with each other at all. That's got to be one of the single most isolating periods of the entire Survivor experience for the people who make it past this point and deep into the game.
Yeah.
What a strange, surreal moment in time. I feel like to document that would be very cool.
Yeah, I think we could see it once. I'm not sure how interesting it is. I think that that might be part of it.
They should call me the next time that happens and I'll go out there and record a first one out special of Inside the Bunker.
Yeah, that could be good.
ITB. Yeah. That'd be a great podcast, right?
Maybe that's something like you could get like that tour stop if you are back out in Fiji at some point and say, hey, can you show me what happens when the survivors go on lockdown?
Terrific idea.
Lockdown Island. What do you think about that? Where somebody
Lockdown
goes.
Lockdown Island. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Survivor Bunker Beach, I think, has the alliteration.
Okay. All right. Josh, anything else about episode number 5 of Survivor David versus Goliath?
Anything else? No, I thought this was a tremendous episode. Sad to see Natalie go. We'll see where it goes from here, though. I'm still feeling really high on this season. Very happy with it so far.
All right. So before we get to talking about the Wandoff, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for the Wandoff. And those are our friends over at Blue Apron, because Blue Apron delivers farm fresh ingredients and step by step recipes to your door. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Not everyone went to culinary school like Lyrsa, Josh. Okay.
Yeah, that was another great thing that she talked about in our interview. She talked about the Fatum. Did you read about the Fatum?
Like of the opera?
I meant of the Klein variety, Fatum Klein. No, she said food, acidity, time, temperature, oxygen, and moisture. This is the thing that was going to set in and spoil the eggs if they had all boiled the eggs as Natalie wanted to.
Right. Well, Blue Apron is going to do all the thinking for you about the Fatum. You can just worry about the cooking and the eating because you choose the recipes. Kentucky boiled chicken, not on the roster. Okay. We are eating chef design recipes, and that chef is not Elizabeth, where they're going to deliver fresh, seasonally inspired ingredients, cook incredible meals in as little as 20 minutes. Dinner in as little as 20 minutes that you could have. How many dinners during this podcast, Josh?
A lot of dinners. At this point, we've had two dinners.
Every week, at least three recipes are built with your busy schedule in mind, where Blue Apron has done the meal prep for you, prepared the sauces, which you love like Carter, spices and ingredients, quick and easy recipe options with insanely delicious flavors. Get rid of the grocery list. Let Blue Apron do the meal prep for you. Blue Apron offers a range of recipes bursting with flavors. Whether you're looking for quick and easy meals or a full culinary cooking experience, Blue Apron lets you choose from a range of recipe options. Blue Apron helps you get out of the routine of cooking the same old, forget about it, with chef design recipes and restaurant quality meals. Always fun to get the Blue Apron. Nicole and I love it. They've got coming up right now, hot Italian sausage pizza. How about that, Josh?
I want that now.
Yeah.
Give that to me.
How about some home-style beef medallions and maple pan sauce?
Beef medallions of power.
Yeah, all great stuff. So go ahead and check it out. Get your first three meals for free and check out this week's menu when you go to blueapron.com/Rob. That's blueapron.com/Rob to get your first three meals for free. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. You know, speaking of maple, Josh, that I didn't mention it when Bradley Kleige came over to the studio. He brought with him a jar of maple syrup that I think his family manufactures in some way.
I thought that you were going to talk about how Bradley was stuffed with beef, and apparently that
stop right there. You want to know right now before you go any further. This is Wanda, and you're in my arena. If you need to, you can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda forever. If you need to, you can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice. You want to know right now before you go any further. It's the Wanda. It'll be here forever.
That's got to be, for the books, the best Wanda-off interruption to date, I think, through however many Wanda-offs we have done at this point. I was going to say that it clogged him up so that he could not go to the bathroom from eating all of that beef for almost a month. And I was going to make the bad joke that now we understand why Bradley is so full of shit.
All right. All right. Josh, please. Family podcast, okay?
Sorry. So sorry. Sorry.
All right.
At least until all of our wand offers show up later into the game. Yeah. I'm sure it shall be vulgar at some point.
All right. Don't count on it. Don't count on it this week. All right.
Okay.
So, Josh, first off, we got to talk about last week, week number four on the wand off. Everybody was voting. Go to robinswebsite.com/vote Wanda. Kurt Clark, the tabulator, has been putting everything together. And, you know, we had been talking about, well, people that have won multiple wand offs, what should they get? What should the winner get from this season? But there was a lot of talk after this episode. Should the winner of the season 37, David versus Goliath, get some sort of Wiggler's Wombat's jacket?
Correct. Yes. Well, I believe weeks ago, even, we had talked about that, right? Wasn't that something that we were talking about not terribly long ago, like mid-October, as a possibility?
Yeah, you know,
jackets and eggs was even a thing.
Yeah. Can you believe it?
And you should see the jackets. I'm sorry. I had to.
It writes itself, right?
Yeah, I think we literally did talk about the jackets.
Yeah, so I think at this point, I think you and I can 1,000,000% agree that the winner of the final wand off for season 37 of Survivor is getting a jacket.
Okay, so we will figure out the logistics of designing the jacket, of like a men's, like women's jacket. Is it sort of like an outerwear, or is it sort of like the Masters where it's like a suit coat?
Well, what we can develop the idea as we go along here. There's no reason to lock it in just yet. I think that we can figure all of those details out as we go. I think the only thing to promise is a wand off or Wombat's jacket. We'll figure out the design. Is waiting for the winner of the final wand off this year.
Right. Okay. So maybe if there's somebody out there who has some design chops, maybe they can help us with sort of like the Wiggler's Wombat's jacket logo. And it's the type of thing where we can sort of have it printed on a jacket when we get to that point. But let's talk about week number four and talk about who our winner was from last week. So after week four, and again, this was not the birthday wand offs, which I greatly appreciate. Thank you, everybody who worked on those. In third place.
Do you really appreciate them?
I really do appreciate that everybody took the time to work on those for me. I feel very hashtag blessed and grateful that people took the time to do so many things for me last week.
All right, let's get into the results of the week 4 Wanda.
Yeah. Okay. In third place, it was DJ Lavelle Klein and Bob from Columbus singing about the people that quit the game with B and Julie McGee in third place.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Quitters don't win, I guess, is the lesson to be learned from that.
In second place, it was the tandem of Jess East and Will A with Vote Out Natalia.
Okay.
And your winner from week number 4, they have gotten to taste Wand Off glory before. Please welcome back to the winner's circle. It is JD and Leah talking about the charm apocalypse.
We need something more to get us through this. I'll bring the charm apocalypse. Gabby,
we'll work with John. First eye blind.
Yes, first blind sight. It's funny. A lot of people have also said, I want something else when they receive the Wigglers Wombats hats.
Yeah. All right. We have not sent those Wigglers Wombats hats out yet here in season 37. A lot going on. Busy September and October. But now, hopefully, once we get through Halloween, things are going to settle down around here. What's coming up in November?
More than I care to speculate upon.
Oh my God. What do you know that I don't?
Nothing. Okay. Nothing. I fear.
Okay. All right.
Dark fears.
Oh my God. Okay. All right.
Oh my God.
All right. So let's get into talking about this week's Wand Off, and let's bring in the host of the Wand Off, the late, great Casey Kasem. Rob, it's a pleasure to be back and talking about jackets and eggs.
Oh my God, Casey, you sound so much better coming out of a different human being's mouth, which is such a strange thing to say.
Josh, it was a jam-packed week once again here on the Wand Off. We had a record high for season 37 with over 50 submissions for this week's Wand Off. I highly recommend that you check them all out on SoundCloud, available to all patrons of Rob as a Podcast.
Rob, you did not mash any of them together, did you?
Let me put Rob back on the phone. No, I was afraid to. And we did get some multiple submissions. I didn't do it. I had all to do to get through 51 of them. Big shout out to Randy Newball, who goes through all this stuff.
Our curator.
I sent him a message. I said, I don't know how you didn't smash your internet router with a baseball bat this weekend. I didn't do that. All right, let me put Casey back on.
All right.
All right, enough of that. Let's get into this week's honorable mentions. And we'll start with a song that's inspired by the time of the season. Here's Scott from Detroit with one specifically for you, Josh Wiggler.
Oh, Luster!
Vaseline is cold. Her vote can be sold. Wolfie finds some warm.
Coat Luster.
That was Coat Luster.
Coat Luster? Like luster to your coat?
Like someone who lusts for coats.
Oh, that makes more sense.
That was the theme from Ghost Island Busters by Ray Parka Jr.
Ray Parka Jr.
You heard me.
Exceptions can be made to the rule. Oh, man, it didn't make any sense until it did. And now Coat Luster is a very funny thing. Very funny indeed. Oh, great.
But
great,
let's great. Take a break from talking about the jackets to talk
just
about
started.
Talk about some of the other things going on this week. Here is a man from Columbus, Ohio. He grew up dreaming of glory in the Wand Off, and here he is back in this week's honorable mentions. Here's Bob from Columbus singing about Christian Hubicki.
You hang with John and Dan.
Equal, you are their equal.
You read like Iron Man.
People, you need your people.
Upgraded to Green Buffs.
Sequel, you query sequel.
The head of awesome stuff. You are a Rochacho, Mr. Roboto. You are a Rochacho, Mr. Roboto. You are a Rochacho, Mr. Roboto. You are a Rochacho, Mr. Roboto.
Ambassador Rochacho, Mr. Roboto. Your integrated sidechips are compatible. System must control the Mr. Roboto. The coming Charmageddon is time swappable.
That was a jam from Sticks.
Wow, if that's an honorable mention, then we are in for a good wind off. That was next level. That was insane. That was excellent. Very, very funny.
Our next mention in the honorable mentions goes out to a woman in Texas. Her name is Elizabeth Olsen. She wrote on Twitter when Rob posted about how he was dead from 51 wand offs. She wrote in and said, "What can I say? 37 gave America so much material for a crap ton of witty songs. Is there one out there about squirrel hunting? Or did eggs, jackets, and hurricanes and KBC steal all the cake? Or is it steal the thunder? Elizabeth, you're in luck, because there's exactly one song about squirrel hunting, and it comes to us from Ryan Houston. Here it is.
Oh yeah. Woo! She's a mighty social cowgirl, got the strategy. She's bonding with Kara over a horsey. Her homegirl Lyrsa on the trigebenny. Liz just won the chickens, here's a victory streak. She's squirrel hunting with the slingshot. Squirrel hunting with the slingshot. She's squirrel hunting with the slingshot. Jackets and eggs. Woo! Woo!
Woo! Woo! That was a great song by the artist Pat Dina Benatar. Up next is another great wand-off artist, the Nick That Sucks, with a song alleging that maybe Jeff Probst hasn't memorized the new tribe names, which is factually incorrect, we want to add. But this is Nick's theory that maybe Jeff doesn't know the new tribe names.
They tried to make me learn the tribe names, but I said no, no, no. I used to know most, but now even as host, I don't know. No, no. Remembering waits their time. And tribe colors work just fine. They tried to make me learn new tribe names, but I said
go
no.
Purple, green, orange, go!
Of course, that is just a fan theory, and a fan theory that is incorrect.
These are hard to keep track. He's got a lot of stuff going on in his mind in that moment.
That was from Amy Diaz Twinehouse. Now, let's get to our jacket and eggs portion of the show.
Here's, we not had Amy Winehouse before? Because you would have done that before. Amy is Diaz Twinehouse?
You like it or no?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. More Amy Diaz Twinehouse.
Okay.
That's good.
Next up is Dave from Ohio, and this will kick off the jackets portion of the honorable mention.
She's got eggs, and she wants Lisa's jacket. She's got eggs, and she's getting voted out. Angelina Beck!
I don't know why it cracked me up. That was a great one from Ozzy Z Top. Lot more to go. All right. Let's go down under and hear from the duo of Sarah and Lyndall talking about, you guessed it, the jacket.
It's freezing here at Tribal. All I have is a cardigan. She thinks I voted with her, so I'll call her name again. Oh, Natalie, all I need is your coat. Don't ignore me. Won't you please lend me jacket from your bag? I didn't blindside you in this boat. You're a goat, Natalie. I need something to warm my arms.
That was a classic tune from the Jackson Fat Five.
The Fatum Five.
Next up, it's a new duo here to the Wand Off. Will from America is singing with Mary Kwiatkowski. Whoa. And it's all about the weather in Fiji.
Please choose me to stay.
Just give me your jacket.
You'll vote me out anyway.
I'll take a parka or a coat.
This evening we have...
I promise that we can talk about the vote once I'm warm and dry.
I'm not okay being bullied.
Oh, Nikki, why are you fussing?
Your priorities are pretty whack.
Sure, we can get Schneebly on board.
Now why are you standing?
Natalie, can I have your jacket? Hey. Natalie, could I have your jacket?
That was a classic standard by various artist Sylvester.
I love the song. The implication is a little much. Speaking of, shout out to the great Slam Tonio Mazzaro.
All right, next up, it's Nick Fishman and Aaron Robertson, and they want to know about whether somebody might be willing to donate a coat.
You got a jacket for me. You got a jacket for me. Cooking the eggs is a pain, and we're miles and miles away from the storm rain. You better hand it over if you want to remain. Nick, you got a jacket for me. Hey, Nat, take that jacket for me.
That was a great song from Randy Bailey Newman.
I was really hoping it would be Randy Newpel.
In a way, it was. Next up, here's Emma talking about that fateful jacket.
I took a walk by the well. This idea started to swell. The cold was starting to dwell, and now it's in my way. I trade my soul for this wish. Who really even needs fish? One day this will be in twish, but now it's in my way. The cold was growing, ripped jeans, skin showing. Cold night wind was blowing. Where you think you're going, Natalie? Hey, your torch is snuck, and this is crazy, but I want your jacket. Please, please, Natalie, why are you walking right by me, baby? I want your jacket. Please, please, Natalie.
Natalie, is there any way I could have your jacket? Natalie. Natalie.
That was the song of the summer just a couple of years back from Carly Boudray Jepsen. Emphasis on the boo. One last honorable mention this week, having a deal with the jacket. Please welcome back the winner of the Ghost Island Wand Off, Tyler Jacob Jones.
Yes, yes.
I'm Natalie. I'm gonna freeze without you. I'm really cold. Natalie, please, without you, my game's gonna fold. How am I gonna survive? I'm gonna, ooh.
Beautiful.
Natalie. Natalie. Nothing.
Those were the sweet sounds that you just heard from Leanne Slaby Rhymes.
Wow, Leanne Slaby making her way into the Wand Off. I really loved that song in Con Air, and my favorite scene is when Nicolas Cage says, "Put the jacket back in the box." Why didn't you put the jacket back in the box?
All right, Josh Wiggler, we're ready for the top five Wand Off songs in the country. First up is a song all about the Jabini tribe. Here's Matt from Waterloo.
Somebody say nothing about a jacket up in here. What's up, Lyrics? What's up? What's up, Angelina? Purple, Jabami, Jabami, Jabami. What's up, Nicky Nat? What's up? What's up, Mike? What's up? Like jackets, Jabami, Jabami, Jabami. Welcome to the tribe you love. The Davids of Davids have come. Mike White flexes his rock star nexus, meowing as he plays. They battle over things like eggs, boil. Are tense at camp cause of Natalie, making people say don't at me. I'm like the brothers from TiVo, yo. Hello Christian, you bro chacho.
Natalie, is there any way I can have your jacket?
Playing like a bunch of babies.
What's up, survival? What's up? Who is the tribe that we love? Jabami, 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 Jabami. What's up, Natalie? What's up? You got words for Angelina.
That was one from San Juan del Sur Mix-a-Lot.
I heard that Carl Boudreau does a great dance to this song.
Does it?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Next up, it's Becky and Taylor, and they want to sing about that fateful jacket.
That jacket's mine.
Wah, 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 wonder.
Warm me up.
Wah, 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 wonder.
Give me that jacket.
Wah, 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 wonder.
Natalie.
Wah, 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 wonder.
Hey, Natalie? Natalie?
My jacket's keeping me so warm here at Ponderosa, damn right, I'm taking it home. You can bake me, but I will ignore. Angelina wants me to give it to her, and I'm like, I don't want to. I don't have to. Why should I?
Why should I? I don't have to, and I chose not to, so I'm wearing it.
It's worth $1 million.
Wah, 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 wanda.
This is Taylor.
Wah, 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 wanda.
And this is Becky.
Wah, 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 wonder.
Josh didn't ask
us to write a birthday song for her. But if he had,
it would have gone like this.
Oh, no.
Happy birthday, little Rob. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, little Rob.
That was a great song from Kellis Gleason, aka This Week in Survivor History with Jordan Kellis.
Well, very good stuff. And it has the potential to be the one birthday wand off that could actually win the wand off. So it all works out, right? There you go. I did you guys a favor. You can thank me later. Great stuff. Very, very funny.
Next up is a song which was our most popular submitted song of the week.
Did it get Shut Up Tim'd? I guess not.
It did not.
Unless this is Shut Up Tim somehow cracking the top five, which I doubt.
And because Josh Wiggler is anti-mashup, here is the Grandin family with a song all about that special piece of outerwear.
I didn't give Angelina my jacket because I didn't know if she was a part of the reason why I'm out. So why should I? I don't have to. And I chose not to. So I'm wearing it.
Natalie Cole, she's damn near 60. Natalie Cole says cook all the eggs. Natalie Cole has a master's in ungraciousness. She uses a machete to cut boogers from your teeth. With a coat as blue as Christian's eyeballs. With softball skills, she'll throw some low balls. She's playing with amateurs, a bunch of Davids. She's touring Fiji's islands on her Ponderosa trip. Natalie Cole had some napalm and a warm blue jacket.
What have we done?
Nobody's ever put a baby in the wand off before.
There we go. First time for everything.
That was from the band Carrot Cake.
Oh, that's incredible. Very, very, very good.
Multiple submissions. Very check it out on SoundCloud. Next up is a pair that went to the Wanda finals last week. It's Jess East and Will A. They're back again to talk about Natalie Napalm.
You can't see the big picture. Well, since we were maroon, you made everybody stress. But I like your braided hair, and you are so warmly dressed. Your time here is over. Finish your ungraciousness to gray. Can I have your jacket, Natalie? And I said, no, no, no. Yes, it is cold, but I'm too damn old. So, no, no, no. I offered Nick a bribe, and then they voted me out of the tribe. And then that bitch wanted my jacket. And I said, no, no, no.
So, why should I? I don't have to. And I chose not to, so I'm wearing it.
Wow. Return of Sandra Diaz Twinehouse in the same Wanda.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Or Amy O'Hara Winehouse. We'll beat you down.
Yeah.
Josh, are you okay?
No. Definitely not, but let's keep going. We got one more, right?
Just one more. That's it.
That sounds like a lie. That sounds like a lie. A vicious lie.
Number five this week is a young man who comes from the San Francisco Bay Area. He's no stranger to making it to the Wanda finals. Here's Graham from the Bay talking about the fight for that one special coat.
I'm keeping this jacket. Ooh, I am for real. Angelina's gonna have to freeze. You cannot make me feel sympathy.
It doesn't take a good genius to see that Miss Keeley wants to take out me, Napalm Natalie. Goliath strong my ass, it's insincere, it's as fake as me trying to shed a tear. She just wants my jacket to stay dry in the storm. But the last time I checked, snakes do not need warmth. Forget our issues and differences. I don't care if you run cold, you burn this bridge. I do not like your sneaky nature. What? I do your dirty work and you still get to play peacemaker? Forget you, and I'm keeping this jacket forever. Forever, forever, ever, forever, ever. This jacket's members only to a club of queens, and no one on this island's taking that crown from me. Y'all know what my impact is, and I can't say goodbye without dropping some napalm bombs on your asses. Woo! I'm keeping this jacket. Ooh, I am for real.
Answers.
Angelina's gonna have to freeze. You cannot make me feel sympathy.
Oh my God, is that like a promise of, I mean, I know that was Outcast twist. Is an Outcast twist awaiting us in the future of David versus Goliath? That'd be exciting. Great.
I'm not sure if that was Natalie speaking or that was Graham speaking to the other Wandoff contestants.
Yeah, we wouldn't know anything about confusing like characters within characters and people speaking in voices and pretending to be somebody else. So it's all very hard to keep track of.
All right. Josh, we actually have one more finalist.
See, I knew you. I know you. I can sense it. You can't keep anything from me. I see your heart. I see your soul. You mashed things together. I know it.
No mashups.
But you're a big fan of the bonus Wandoff, so here we are.
On a week where we get 51 submissions, it's not fair to limit the voting to just 5. Here is a newcomer to the Wandoff this season, but
I got to say, just to interrupt you, I feel very nervous about this precedent that you're setting, that you just established there, because now a good strategy to get into the top 5 of the Wandoffs is to flood the zone. Like,
no!
As many people as possible to create and
evacuate.
Just
evacuate.
Like Wandoff bots, just like flooding the Wandoff submission.
If there's a Wandoff cyclone, we will evacuate and there will be no podcast. We will go into the empty room.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, just look out for 1,000 Wandoffs from Cherry Hill, New Jersey next week. It's just a prediction. It's a prediction I've got.
Amazingly, this bonus track, number 6 for you to vote on this week, has nothing to do with the jacket. Here's Karen from Canada.
What weirds me out about the rock stars is when they're doing the guitar twang, does that sound like they're meowing? Should they be the cats? Cool cats? Yeah, they're the cats. Cats. I'm rebranding Mike and Nick as the cats. I'm open to suggestions if we want to dig deeper into that.
Mike Here we are. And Nick are cats. Rock and roll cats. They play their guitar. They're feline rock stars. They get to decide who stays on their trail. They vote
That was composed by Richard Hatch Strauss. This is a classy show. Something for everyone.
I love that the cats caught on. Oh my God. If somebody can give me a We Are Siamese, if you please, cat wand off with Mike and Nick's meowing for the meows, I'd be happy. I'd be happy with that.
And there you have it. That's this week's Wandoff Top 6. You can vote. Go to robaswebsite.com/vote Wanda. The results will be revealed on next week's show. course, you can hear all 51 and counting submitted wand-offs on our SoundCloud playlist that we put together every single week. For any patron of Rob Has a Podcast, go to robhasawebsite.com/patron to see about that and all the other beneficiaries of being a Rob Has a Podcast patron.
The cats.
Thank you, Casey. Thank you, Casey.
The cats.
Okay.
The cats.
All right.
The cats. The cats.
Josh, anything else? What else is going on?
Nothing else.
So much.
I've got nothing else. Yes. Go check out the Lyrsa article. I would appreciate it. That would be fantastic if you could check out the Lyrsa article, thr.com/survivor. I did receive the positive news from the people on my end of the equation that this stuff is doing well. So I assume you guys are doing your part. I would love to keep doing the active player interviews. I think that they add a lot to the discourse and they're super fun to do. And I think you guys are enjoying to read them. So Click them. That's good. We want it. The clickbait.
Click.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So please keep it alive. So I appreciate it. thr.com/survivor.
Yes. Josh, you have any Halloween plans?
Definitely not.
Oh, I hate Halloween. You hate Halloween.
I'm not a Halloween fan.
Oh.
As I've mentioned, I've been more open about this. I feel like with my platform such as it is, I feel like it is a service to be open about the fact that I am an anxious human being. I get the social anxiety. Halloween is a bad holiday for me.
Oh, I didn't know this. I didn't know that you really did not care for it.
No, it makes me nervous. I have to go out into the mean streets of New York City, and there's the people in the costumes, and I don't know what their plans are. I don't know what they're up to. I don't know what they're going to do. It makes me very, very unsettled, the Halloween. I'm not a huge fan. Liked the movie. Enjoyed the movie. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that Gary Hogaboom is name-checked in the Halloween?
I did hear that. I saw that on Reddit, yes, but not for the Survivor game.
No. It's literally, you just hear the name
Mike
Gary
Myers,
Hogaboom.
I will beat you down.
I would bet on Amy O'Hara versus Mike Myers for sure.
She could take on the Jamie Lee Curtis role in the sequels.
Yeah, I think that's good.
The Amy Lee Curtis. Yeah,
Amy Lee Curtis. I believe we're being very, very
I'm gonna
informal.
Beat you down.
Very informal to call Michael Myers Mike. Like, I don't feel like we can call him Mike. That's the performer.
Hey.
Michael. It's Dr. Mike Myers.
Knock, knock.
Oh, God. Oh, man. That's a horrifying thought.
All right.
Anyway, yeah, no, keep me away from Halloween. I'm not a fan.
All right.
Not a big fan.
Anyway, Josh Wiggler, so nice to catch up here in the Wiggle Room. We've got so much more coming up this week. Of course, because of the Halloween festivities, I will be out trick-or-treating with my family Wednesday night. So no live Survivor Know-It-Alls. We will have it up for you later on in the night on Wednesday. So there will be a podcast. It just will not be live. Myself and Stephen Fishback back together this Wednesday night. And then on Thursday, exit interview plus Randy Bailey back on the recap show. He did not want to do the feedback show. I originally had him booked for the voicemail show a couple of weeks ago. Randy called an audible. So he said, hold on, not a feedback show guest.
Please get his take on the slight that he weathered from one Nick Wilson during First One Out, where he said, I don't want to be voicemails like Randy Bailey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We'll play that clip for him.
Does he have an issue with Nick over that? I've also heard he's not a Natalie fan, and his take on that on Twitter was fairly epic. So I'm excited to hear him expound.
Okay. So we'll talk to Randy Bailey, and then Ali Lasher will be my guest on the feedback show.
Yes. Oh, that's great. Big fan of Ali.
I didn't know you were such a big fan.
Allie's the best. She's fantastic. I'm really, anytime she talks Survivor with you, I'm very, very excited about that. That's great news.
Okay, so big week coming up here on the podcast. Of course, looking forward to all of that. Follow Josh Wiggler on Twitter. He is at Round Howard. Will this next episode confirm Josh's theory that this is the best episode, the best season in Survivor history? Only one way to find out. Follow Josh on Twitter, at Round Howard. I'm at Rob Sestrino. Josh, anything else?
Negative.
Okay, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We're back and we're swapping. Survivors, take your buffs and drop them. I kind of squeed. Love the tribe that's green, Hibiki.
knows that it's tricky, needs a plan to save him and Gabby.
John's a sexy beast, but he's still a nerd, discussing demographics being awkwardly absurd. But Gabby's feeling apprehensive, uncomfy with the charm offensive.
Christian speaks to her, tries his best to reassure. Builds his resume, not the kind man for the jurors.
Applying for a job might save the day.
The Slamtown comptroller came to play.
We need something more to get us through this. I'll bring the Chompocalypse. Gabby, we'll both work with John when he gets the web portal online.
Wah, 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 wanda, wah, 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 wanda, wah, 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 wanda.
It's challenge time. Times are blind. Gabby takes a chance to step up to the line. And she's always gonna crush a challenge when it's about communication skills.
Wah, 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 wanda, wah, 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 wanda.